Welcome to Gima's Tales for Children. Each week we visit a different part of the world to hear stories, legends, and myths. Some of these stories are so old that the origin has been lost in time. Some are new and some are timeless. Join us as we travel this week to Germany. Germany lies in the center of Europe and shares borders with 9 countries. It is separated from Denmark by the North Sea. It's famous for its castles. There are more than 25,000 castles in Germany. And it's where something we all enjoy was created, the pretzel. For further information about Germany for children on the internet, I suggest www.kidsworldtravelguide.com/Germany-facts. I'm starting today with a story that was one of my favorites when I was a little girl. I used to read it over and over. I find it as charming today as all those years ago. Here is Alleluia, or The Many-Furred Creature. There was once upon a time a king who had a wife with golden hair, and she was so beautiful that you couldn't find anyone like her in the world. It happened that she fell ill, and when she felt that she must soon die, she sent for the king and said, "If you want to marry after my death, make no one queen unless she is just as beautiful as I am and has just such golden hair as I have. Promise me this." After the king had promised her this, she closed her eyes and died. For a long time, the king was not to be comforted, and he did not even think of having a second wife. At last, his counselor said, "The king must marry again so that we may have a queen." So messengers were sent far and wide to seek for a bride equal to the late queen in beauty. But there was no one in the whole world, and if there had been, she could not have had such golden hair. Then the messengers came home again, not having been able to find a queen. Now the king had a daughter, who was just as beautiful as her dead mother, and had just such golden hair. One day, when she had grown up, her father looked at her and saw that she was exactly like her mother. So he said to his counselors, "I will marry my daughter to one of you, and she shall be queen, for she is exactly like her dead mother, and when I die, her husband shall be king." But when the princess heard of her father's decision, she was not at all pleased, and said to him, "Before I do your bidding, I must have 3 dresses, one as golden as the sun, one as silver as the moon, and one as shining as the stars. Each dress must be made of such fine fabric that it can fit into a nutshell. Besides these, I want a cloak made of 1,000 different kinds of skins. Every animal in your kingdom must give a bit of a skin to it." But she thought to herself, "This will be quite impossible, and I shall not have to marry someone I do not care for." The king, however, was not to be turned from his purpose, and he commanded the most skillful maidens in his kingdom to weave the 3 dresses, one as golden as the sun, and one as silver as the moon, and one as shining as the stars. And he gave orders to all his huntsmen to catch one of every kind of beast in the kingdom, and to get a bit of its skin to make the cloak of 1,000 pieces of fur. At last, when all was ready, the king commanded the cloak to be brought to him, and he spread it out before the princess and said, "Tomorrow shall be your wedding day." When the princess saw that there was no more hope of changing her father's resolution, she determined to flee away. In the night, when everyone else was sleeping, she got up and took 3 things from her treasures, a gold ring and 2 golden pins, one a little spinning wheel and the other a gold reel. She put the sun, moon, and star dresses in a nutshell, drew on the cloak of many skins, and made her face and hands black with soot. Then she went out and traveled the whole night till she came to a large forest. And as she was very tired, she sat down beside a hollow tree and fell asleep. The sun rose and she still slept on, although it was nearly noon. Now it happened that the king to whom this wood belonged was hunting in it. When his dogs came to the tree, they sniffed and ran round and round it, barking. The king said to the huntsman, "See what sort of a wild beast is in there." The huntsman went in and then came back and said, "In the hollow tree there lies a wonderful animal that we don't know, and we have never seen one like it. Its skin is made of 1,000 pieces of fur, but it is lying down asleep. The king said, "See if you can catch it alive, and then fasten it to the cart, and we will take it with us." When the huntsman seized the maiden, she awoke and was frightened and cried out to them, "I am a poor child, forsaken by father and mother. Take pity on me and let me go with you." Then they said to her, "Many furred creature, you can work in the kitchen. Come with us and sweep the ashes together." So they put her in the cart and they went back to the palace. There they showed her a tiny room under the stairs where no daylight came and said to her, "Many furred creature, you can live and sleep here." Then she was sent into the kitchen where she carried wood and water, poked the fire, washed vegetables, plucked fowls, swept up the ashes, and did all the dirty work. So the many-furred creature lived there for a long time in great poverty. Ah, beautiful king's daughter, what is going to befall you now? It happened once when a great feast was being held in the palace that she said to the cook, "Can I go upstairs for a little bit and look on? I will stand outside the doors." The cook replied, "Yes, you can go up, but in half an hour you must be back here to sweep up the ashes." Then she took her little oil lamp and went into her little room, drew off her fur cloak, and washed off the soot from her face and hands, so that her beauty shone forth, and it was as if one sunbeam after another were coming out of a black cloud. Then she opened the nut and took out the dress as golden as the sun. And when she had done this, she went up to the feast, and everyone stepped out of her way, for nobody knew her, and they thought that she must be a king's daughter. The king came towards her and gave her his hand and danced with her, thinking to himself, "My eyes have never beheld anyone so fair." When the dance was ended, she curtsied to him, and when the king looked round, she had disappeared. No one knew whither. The guards who were standing before the palace were called and questioned, but no one had seen her. She had run to her little room and had quickly taken off her dress, made her face and hands black, put on the fur cloak, and was once more the many-furred creature. When she came into the kitchen and was setting about her work of sweeping the ashes together, the cook said to her, "Let that wait till tomorrow and just cook the king's soup for me. I want to have a little peep at the company upstairs, but be sure that you do not let a hair fall into it. Otherwise, you will get nothing to eat in future." So the cook went away, and the many-furred creature cooked the soup for the king. She made a bread soup as well as she possibly could, and when it was done, she fetched her gold ring from her little room and laid it in the tureen in which the soup was to be served up. When the dance was ended, the king had his soup brought to him and ate it, and it was so good that he thought he had never tasted such soup in his life. But when he came to the bottom of the dish, he saw a gold ring lying there, and he could not imagine how it got in. Then he commanded the cook to be brought before him. The cook was terrified when he heard the command and said to the many-furred creature, "You must have let a hair fall into that soup, and if you have, you deserve a good beating." When he came before the king asked who had cooked the soup. The cook answered, "I cooked it." But the king said, "That's not true, for it was quite different and much better soup than you have ever cooked." Then the cook said, "I must confess I did not cook the soup. The many-furred creature did." "Let her be brought before me," said the king. When the many-furred creature came, the king asked her who she was. "I am a poor child without father or mother." Then he asked her, "What do you do in my palace?" "I am of no use except to have boots thrown at my head." "How did you get the ring which was in the soup?" he asked. "I know nothing at all about the ring," she answered. So the king could find out nothing and was obliged to send her away. After a time, there was another feast, and the many-furred creature begged the cook, as at the last one, to let her go and look on. He answered, "Yes, but come back again in half an hour and cook the king the bread soup that he likes so much." So she ran away to her little room, washed herself quickly, took out of the nut the dress as silver as the moon, and put it on. Then she went upstairs looking just like a king's daughter, and the king came towards her, delighted to see her again. And as the dance had just begun, they danced together. But when the dance was ended, she disappeared again so quickly that the king could not see which way she went. She ran to her little room and changed herself once more into the many-furred creature and went into the kitchen to cook the bread soup. When the cook was upstairs, she fetched the golden spinning wheel pin and put it in the dish so that the soup was poured over it. It was brought to the king, who ate it and liked it as much as the last time. He had the cook sent to him, and again he had to confess that the many-furred creature had cooked the soup. Then the many-furred creature came before the king, but she said again that she was of no use except to have boots thrown at her head, and that she knew nothing at all of the golden spinning wheel. When the king had a feast for the third time, things did not turn out quite the same as at the other two. The cook said, "You must be a witch, many-furred creature, for you always put something in the soup, so that it is much better and tastes nicer to the king than any that I cook." But because she begged so hard, he let her go up for the usual time. Now she put on the dress as shining as the stars and stepped into the hall in it. The king danced again with the beautiful maiden and thought she had never looked so beautiful. And while he was dancing, he put a gold ring on her finger without her seeing it, and he commanded that the dance should last longer than usual. When it was finished, he wanted to keep her hands in his, but she broke from him and sprang so quickly away among the people that she vanished from his sight. She ran as fast as she could to her little room under the stairs, but because she had stayed too long beyond the half hour, she could not stop to take off the beautiful dress, but only threw the fur cloak over it, and in her haste she did not make herself quite black with the soot, one finger remaining white. The many-furred creature now ran into the kitchen, cooked the king's bread soup, and when the cook had gone, she laid the gold reel in the dish. When the king found the reel at the bottom, he had the many-furred creature brought to him, and then he saw the white finger and the ring which she had put on her hand in the dance. Then he took her hand and held her tightly, and as she was trying to get away, the fur cloak pulled open a little bit, and the star dress shone out. The king seized the cloak and tore it off her. Her golden hair came down, and she stood there in her full splendor and could not hide herself away anymore. And when the soot and ashes had been washed from her face, she looked more beautiful than anyone in the world. The king said, "You are my dear bride, and we will never be separated from one another." And so she found someone who truly loved her. The wedding was celebrated, and they lived happily ever after. This story has an unusual twist to it. Perhaps Albert Einstein, who was German, read this when he was a boy, because there is a reference to how time can seem to stand still in some places, and in other places it does not. Here is Old Rink Rank. There was once on a time a king who had a daughter, and he caused a glass mountain to be made, and said that whosoever could cross to the other side of it without falling should have his daughter to wife. Then there was the one who loved the king's daughter, and he asked the king if he might have her. "Yes," said the king, "if you can cross the mountain without falling, you shall have her." And the princess said she would go over it with him, and would hold him if he were about to fall. So they set out together to go over it, and when they were halfway up, the princess slipped and fell, and the glass mountain opened and shut her up inside it, and her betrothed could not see where she had gone, for the mountain closed immediately. Then he wept and lamented much, and the king was miserable too, and had the mountain broken open where she had been lost, and thought he would be able to get her out again, but they could not find the place into which she had fallen. Meantime, the king's daughter had fallen quite deep down into the earth, into a great cave. An old fellow with a very long gray beard came to meet her and told her that if she would be a servant and do everything he bade her, she might live. If not, he would kill her. So she did all he bade her. In the mornings, he took his ladder out of his pocket and set it up against the mountain and climbed to the top by its help, and then he drew up the ladder after him. The princess had to cook his dinner, make his bed, and do all his work, and when he came home again, he always brought with him a heap of gold and silver. When she had lived with him for many years and had grown quite old, he called her Mother Mansrot, and she had to call him Old Rink Rank. Then, once when he was out and she had made his bed and washed his dishes, she shut the doors and windows all fast, and there was one little window through which the light shone, and this she left open. When Old Rink Rank came home, he knocked at his door and cried, "Mother Mansrot, open the door for me." "No," said she, Old Rinkrank, I will not open the door for thee. Then he said, Here stand I, poor Rinkrank, on my 17 long shanks. Oh, my weary, worn-out foot! Wash my dishes, Mother Mansroot.
I have washed thy dishes already, said she.
Then again he said, Here stand I, poor Rinkrank, on my 17 long shanks, on my weary, worn-out foot. Make me my bed, Mother Mansroot.
I have made thy bed already, said she.
Then again he said, Here stand I, poor Rinkrank, on my 17 long shanks. Oh, my weary, worn-out foot! Open the door, Mother Mansroot. Then he ran all around his house and saw that the little window was open and thought, I will look in and see what she can be about and why she will not open the door for me. He tried to peep in but could not get his head through because of his long beard. So he first put his beard through the open window. But just as he had got it through, Mother Mansroot came by and pulled the window down with the cord which she had tied to it, and his beard was shut fast in it. Then he began to cry most piteously, for it hurt him very much, and to entreat her to release him again. But she said not until he gave her the ladder with which he ascended the mountain. Then, whether he would or not, he had to tell her where the ladder was. She fastened a very long ribbon to the window, and then she set up the ladder and ascended the mountain, and when she was at the top of it, she opened the window. It was as if time had stopped when the princess stepped out upon the mountain of glass. In an instant she was youthful again, as the first day when she had climbed the mountain and fallen in. She went to her father and told him all that had happened to her. The king rejoiced greatly, and her betrothed was still there, and they went and dug up the mountain and found old Rinkrank inside it with all his gold and silver. Then the king had old Rinkrank put to death and took all the gold and silver. The princess married her betrothed and lived right happily in great magnificence and joy. I like this story because it is such a strange combination of characters, and the moral at the end is an important one to remember. Here is the mouse, the bird, and the sausage. Once upon a time, a mouse, a bird, and a sausage became companions, kept house together, lived well and happily with each other, and wonderfully increased their possessions. The bird's work was to fly every day into the forest and bring back wood. The mouse had to carry water, light the fire, and lay the table. But the sausage had to cook. He who is too well off is always longing for something new. One day, therefore, the bird met with another bird on the way, to whom it related its excellent circumstances and boasted of them. The other bird, however, called it a poor simpleton for its hard work, but said that the two at home had good times, for when the mouse had made her fire and carried her water, she went into her little room to rest until they called her to lay the cloth. The sausage stayed by the pot, saw that the food was cooking well, and when it was nearly time for dinner, it rolled itself once or twice through the broth or vegetables, and then they were buttered, salted, and ready. When the bird came home and laid his burden down, they sat down to dinner, and after they had their meal, they slept their fill till the next morning, and that was a splendid life. Next day, the bird, prompted by the other bird, would go no more into the wood, saying that he had been servant long enough and had been made a fool of by them, and that they must change about for once and try to arrange it in another way. And though the mouse and the sausage also begged most earnestly, the bird would have his way, and said it must be tried. They cast lots about it, and the lot fell on the sausage, who was to carry wood. The mouse became cook, and the bird was to fetch water. What happened? The little sausage went out towards the wood, the little bird lighted the fire, the mouse stayed by the pot and waited alone until little sausage came home and brought wood for next day. But the little sausage stayed so long on the road that they both feared something was amiss, and the bird flew out a little way into the air to meet it. Not far off, however, it met a dog on the road who had fallen on the poor sausage as lawful booty, and had seized it and swallowed it. The bird sadly took up the wood, flew home, and related what he had seen and heard. They were much troubled, but agreed to do their best and remain together. The bird therefore laid the cloth, and the mouse made ready the food and wanted to dress it, and to get into the pot, as the sausage used to do, and roll and creep amongst the vegetables to mix them. But when she got into the midst of them, she was boiled, and lost her skin and hair and life in the attempt.
When the bird came to carry up the dinner, no cook was there. In its distress, the bird threw the wood here and there, called and searched, but no cook was to be found. Owing to his carelessness, the wood caught fire. Then a conflagration ensued. The bird hastened to fetch water, and then the bucket dropped from his claws into the well. The poor bird was then forced to wander the world alone, forever missing his two dear companions. Three had worked well, doing what they did best. The moral of this story, don't listen to others who think they know what is best for you, for quite often they do not. Perhaps because there are so many castles in Germany, there are an equally enormous number of tales of handsome kings and beautiful maidens who end up living happily ever after. For our final story, I have chosen one because of its odd enchantment. I hope you enjoy The Old Woman in the Wood. A poor servant girl was once traveling with the family with which she was in service through a great forest, and when they were in the midst of it, robbers came out of the thicket and murdered all they found. All perished together except the girl, who had jumped out of the carriage in a fright and hidden herself behind a tree. When the robbers had gone away with their booty, she came out and beheld the great disaster. Then she began to weep bitterly and said, "What can a poor girl like me do now? I do not know how to get out of the forest. No human being lives in it, so I must certainly starve." She walked about and looked for a robe, but could find none. When it was evening, she seated herself under a tree and resolved to sit waiting there and not go away, let what might happen. When, however, she had sat there for a while, a white dove came flying to her with a little golden key in its mouth. It put the little key in her hand and said, "Dost thou see that great tree? Therein is a little lock. It opens with the tiny key, and there thou wilt find food enough and suffer no more hunger." Then she went to the tree and opened it and found milk in a little dish and white bread to break into it so that she could eat her fill. When she was satisfied, she said, "It is now the time when the hens at home go to roost. I'm so tired, I could go to bed too." Then the dove flew to her again and brought another golden key in its bill and said, "Open that tree there, and thou wilt find a bed." So she opened it and found a beautiful white bed, and she lay down and slept. In the morning the dove came for the third time and again brought a little key and said, "Open that tree there, and thou wilt find clothes." And when she opened it, she found garments beset with gold and with jewels, more splendid than those of any king's daughter. So she lived there for some time, and the dove came every day and provided her with all she needed, and it was a quiet, good life. So she lived there for some time, and the dove came every day and provided her with all she needed, and it was a quiet, good life. Once, however, the dove came and said, "Wilt thou do something for my sake?" "With all my heart," said the girl. Then said the little dove, "I will guide thee to a small house. Enter it, and inside it an old woman will be sitting by the fire and will say, 'Good day.' But on thy life give her no answer. Let her do what she will, but pass by her on the right side. Further on there is a door which opens, and thou wilt enter into a room where a quantity of rings of all kinds are lying, amongst which are some magnificent ones with shining stones. Leave them, however, where they are, and seek out a plain one, which must likewise be amongst them, and bring it here to me as quickly as thou canst." The girl went to the little house and came to the door. There sat an old woman who stared when she saw her and said, "Good day, my child." The girl gave her no answer and opened the door. "Whither away?" cried the old woman, and seized her by the gown and wanted to hold her fast, saying, "That is my house. No one can go in there if I choose not to allow it." But the girl was silent, got away from her, and went straight into the room. Now there lay on the table an enormous quantity of rings, which gleamed and glittered before her eyes. She turned them over and looked for the plain one, but could not find it. While she was seeking, she saw the old woman and how she was stealing away with a birdcage which she had in her hand. So she went after her and took the cage out of her hand, and when she raised it up and looked into it, a bird was inside which had the plain ring in its bill. Then she took the ring and ran quite joyously home with it and thought the little white dove would come and get the ring, but it did not. Then she leant against a tree and determined to wait for the dove, and as she thus stood, it seemed just as if the tree was soft and pliant and was letting its branches down. And suddenly the branches twined round her and were two arms, and when she looked round, the tree was a handsome man who embraced and kissed her heartily and said, "Thou hast delivered me from the power of the old woman, who is a wicked witch. She had changed me into a tree, and every day for 2 hours I was a white dove, and so long as she possessed the ring, I could not regain my human form." Then his servants and his horses, who had likewise been changed into trees, were freed from the enchantment also, and stood beside him. And he led them forth to his kingdom, for he was a king's son, and they married and lived happily. So, we've come to the end of our time together today. If you have a story you'd like to hear, please feel free to write me with your request. If you've written a children's story and would like to share it, let me know as well. I welcome your feedback. You can email me at guima@kciw.org. That's guima@kciw.org. See you next week, same time, same place, but very different stories. We'll be traveling across the North Sea to Denmark, another home of one of the most famous storytellers who ever lived, Hans Christian Andersen. Denmark is also famous for its wonderful pastries and dairy products, and it's home to some of the happiest people on earth. Stay safe, have fun, and let your imagination soar. This is Guima saying goodbye and happy reading.